This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. It is now 7:48, Friday, 7th of August. And we're going to be talking about the COVID-19 bill because yesterday, the Finance Minister, Tunku Datuk Sri Zafrul Aziz, tabled this long-awaited COVID-19 bill, or in full, the Temporary Measures for Government Financing COVID-19 Bill 2020. Quite a bit of a mouthful there. Now, this isn't the same as the COVID-19 bill that we've talked about previously on the show, where back in April, we spoke to lawyers about how the COVID-19 bill could perhaps mitigate business contracts affected by the pandemic. And you can, of course, listen to those conversations on the BFM app or on Spotify. But this COVID-19 bill encompasses all the economic stimulus funding pledged by the government.
So this includes the first package announced by Tun Mahathir in February, as well as the subsequent Prihatin and Punjana packages. The total value of all these recovery plans have now come up to 45 billion ringgit.
So to help us break down the contents of the bill and its implications, we have on the line YB Wong Chen, Member of Parliament for Subang. Hi Wong Chen, thanks for joining us today. Now, what is the purpose of the COVID-19 financing bill that was tabled yesterday? Can you give us an overview of its contents, please?
Okay, good morning, guys. The most important thing about this bill is considered a finance bill. It's a supply bill. It's not, as you said, some sort of laws or commercial bill to sort out and prevent legal actions and lawsuits from the COVID-19. So this is strictly a finance bill. It has two parts. The first part asks to increase the loan ceiling, the national debt loan ceiling, from 55% to 60%. But it's a temporary measure up to the 31st December 2020. Then you revert back to 55%. The second part is to just show the quantum they're asking for, which is 45 billion to be spent in 31 programs that they have. That's basically it.
Wong Chen, any alarm bells for you in terms of this raising of the debt ceiling?
Well, it's a temporary measure. So I understand that we will be taking on more debt. It depends how fast the GDP grows. So he wants, the Minister of Finance wants to have a bit more buffer because we're at about 53% of GDP, the debt level. So I think he wants another 6-7% buffer for this COVID-19 period, which the government has put up a date, which is basically up to 31st December 2022. So I'm not terribly worried, you know, because they haven't actually come in to present an amendment to the Loan Act itself. They're doing this. I'm not sure whether it's constitutionally legal or not, but it's a pretty decent measure, I think. It's also realistic in that sense.
Early days yet, obviously, but do you foresee any repercussions in terms of how the rest of the world views Malaysia's fiscal position, you know, the sovereign ratings agencies, for example?
The sovereign rating agencies are probably going to understand that every country in the world is going through the same thing. As long as the government shows that it's not super irresponsible in printing out more and more MGS, then it should be okay. Now, I'm a bit worried if the printing goes way higher, that the bond issuance go way higher than 150 billion, then I think we could be facing some sort of rating downgrade.
And Wong Chen, I mean, the opposition has long called for the COVID-19 stimulus packages to be debated in Parliament. Is this bill about this then, providing an opportunity for y'all to scrutinise and maybe have an oversight over what is happening?
Yes, it is an opportunity, but it's also very strange because we do expect the Singaporean version of the bill, which I think is much more important. You can't have, you know, I mean, we've got millions of transactions every day, orders to be met. And if we don't sort out those things and prevent people from suing each other, then I think that's even greater implication. The 45 billion that they want to inject in is normal government practice. Bad practice, though, but normal for them to spend first and then ask later for Parliament's approval. So this is a bit strange. And it comes in a strange political time because I don't think the government really have a real majority anymore after the 1MDB. After the SRC case on budget.
I'm assuming you've seen part of the bill, or at least the bill, Wong Chen. How complete is it? Are there any things that you'd like to see included or excluded?
Well, I would like to see the wage subsidy portion to be much higher, right? It's at 16.8 billion out of 45 billion. That's just a mere 37% of the entire 45 billion rescue package. Now, we all know the wage subsidy element is the most important. So what about the remaining, 70% of this stuff? 63% of this stuff. Where are they going to? So when we look into it, we see this, like, they're going to spend like $4 billion on something called small-scale projects. I mean, what is that? I've not heard of this, but it's called small-scale project. But for SME financing and grant, $2 billion here, $2 billion there, is equivalent to the amount of $4 billion small-scale projects. So, the devil is in the details. We have to go into this carefully. And when we look at the big global number of $45 billion, it sounds logical. We have to still go into individual itemized items that they want to spend. I just think it's ridiculous to have 31 items you're going to do for COVID-19. This seems to be a bit irresponsible, in my opinion. It must be wage subsidy taking at least 50% of the $45 billion. And then probably another 6 or 7 programs. You don't need 31 programs.
And Wong Chen, I mean, the reality is the economy is in a very, in a difficult spot. I mean, with the recession definitely looming. So do you think this bill can still get the bipartisan support?
Yeah, okay. So this is the thing. My view, and I don't speak for PKL or UNPH, my view is I think we do need a bipartisan support because we need an injection of money by the government, whichever government that is, right? But we do need transparency and accountability. And we need the minister to engage us, not just table this thing and expect us to just, to support it. What if this bill is defeated? I mean, after yesterday's quarrel and then, Guaning being arrested and all that, I don't think the moon is there for bipartisan support, So we have to see. I mean, the talks between the government and opposition must start because these things should be bipartisan. Economic issues should largely be bipartisan, provided, of course, they are accountable and transparent.
Yeah, Wong Chen, in America, the pandemic legislation has been criticized for sending too much money to corporations instead. If in Malaysia the bill is altered to put more money directly into the hands of the people and the employees, for example, as you say, to go from 37% of the bill at least 50% of the amount, what then are the chances of it getting bipartisan support, at least more popular support in the House, which is obviously doesn't have a majority anymore, as you point out?
Well, I think that we're not anywhere near like America because, they have quantitative easing. We don't have the option for that. We just have to issue bonds. And $45 billion is not a lot. I mean, $45 billion in context is probably like 3 or 4% of the 2 or 3% of the GDP. So it's not going to make that much of an impact, if you ask me. The only thing that's really making a tremendous positive impact for us is really the health situation is under control, or at least we know we've been told that it's under control. So I don't see a lot of government intervention, and this $45 billion is not really in context of the big picture, right? Most governments are doing 10% of GDP intervention. We're doing 3%. So not much of an issue, but it's really a finance bill that is the problem, because if you don't pass a finance bill, the government has to technically resign, and we'll have an election in October, November, right? I mean, that's the one. And that instability, to play poker now with a finance bill when the finance bill is not required, I think that gives the instability and uncertainty to the economic, to all the economic players, including businessmen, workers, employees. They're worried about this kind of thing. I think someone has to talk to each other. Let's put it that way.
And Wong Chen, I want to ask, right, at the end of the day, do you think all parties can set aside their political differences for what is clearly needed for the good of the nation? Is that possible?
I really hope that's possible. But as I say, today's development in Guaning being arrested and all that, I think it's going to be a bit difficult. But I hope that, cooler heads prevail. This bill will probably be debated in about a week or 2 weeks' time. So we shall see back then whether the politicians will get together and try to sort out something, some sort of understanding, so that while we quarrel about politics, I mean, for God's sake, we still have to worry about the people's stomach and their purse, right? So I hope that we would get to that stage.
Thank you for your time. That was YB Wong Chen, Member of Parliament for Subang. Really highlighting the importance that at the end of the day, it's the people, right? The bread and butter issues. So you really, as a country, we need to set aside these political differences to work for, you know, to improve the economy.
I think the wider discussion is the fact that this is essentially a finance bill, as Wong Chen pointed out. And November is also budget time. If the government doesn't get their version of the budget passed in Parliament, it really amounts to a vote of no confidence, which I think is the ultimate end game here, which is not good because it's, you know, we need policy certainty. We need a stable government right now. The people need it more than ever before. And if that's the case, then we might have an election in October, November, you know, a bit further
out. Who knows?
And then, you know, Bob's your uncle, man.
But we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, a breakfast grill where Chuang speaks to Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, caretaker chief minister of Sabah. Stay tuned for that happening in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.